Prime Matters presents this three-part series on the interior life with Monsignor Tom Richter of the Diocese of Bismarck. Prime Matters is a groundbreaking project of educational outreach of the University of Mary, awakening the Catholic imaginative vision. Episode 1, Christian, Not Pagan.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. And I tell you, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish, or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Gospel of the Lord. I want to simply tell a story demonstrating the dynamics of the Christian life, which is going to be kind of an overarching, it's the overarching big picture. So the dynamics of the Christian life, the dynamics of relationship with God, the dynamics of grace, and then we'll jump in to the actual topic for tonight. My good brother Patrick, out on the farm 12 miles from here, he went to North Dakota State University, studied egg science. In fact, his dear daughter goes to this fine school, Madonna. And Patrick, his senior year, he was involved at the Newman Center. And senior year, while attending Mass, he started to notice this cute little pianist who played the piano during Mass. He thought it'd be nice to meet her, be nice to get to know her. Well, his chance came when one evening he was on a committee for a fundraiser, the bicycle race between NDSU and UND Newman Centers. And he walked in to the committee, and there in that room sat this pianist. And so he was really glad he signed up for this committee. During that hour or so meeting, stuff really started to be claimed in him around her. And just really sort of clear that she is someone chosen for me. So he decided, I'm not letting her get out of this building without introducing myself. So as soon as the meeting got over, he got up, got to the door before she did. And so when she came out, he introduced himself, said, Miss, I need to meet you. I'm Patrick Richter. What's your name? She said, Denise. And then he asked her two questions. Where are you from? A little town in Minnesota. He decided he could forgive her for that. And then asked her, what does your dad do? And she said, he's a dairy farmer. He just like hit the jackpot. So he ran home a few blocks to his house where his buddies lived, opened the door and proclaimed to all his buddies, I just met the woman I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. Do you know what was the first consequence of that encounter? The first consequence of that encounter is he wanted to be with her. He wanted to see her again. He was even willing to go to the library if he had to see her. So the first result of that encounter, everyone, is he wanted to be with her. This is how grace works. You know what the second consequence was? The second consequence is his behavior started to change. He started to shower. He used deodorant. Learned some poetry. Drank less. So he could be with her. Now, dear students, this is the dynamic of the Christian life. The encounter with God, which makes me want to be with him, then changes my moral life, not the other way around. This is what we're after. We're after the encounter with God, and he is the one who then claims us, changes us, and draws us into him. Pope Benedict XVI, on October 21st, 2009, gave this beautiful description of faith from St. Bernard of Clairvaux. This description of faith, he says this, faith is first and foremost a personal, intimate encounter with Jesus. Did you hear that amazing sentence? Faith is first and foremost a personal, intimate encounter with Jesus. It's having an experience of his friendship, his closeness, and his love. And then he says in Italian, e soltanto, it is only in this way that we can come to know him better and love him more. Amazing. So you can then, right, deduce how much the Lord wants you to encounter him. And so that's what this weekend's going to be about. Us encountering the Lord, receiving his tremendous grace so that he can then claim us and make us saints. So for tonight's talk, I'm going to, for this encounter, good people, the first step is in order to encounter God, the first step is getting God right. Getting God right. That we're praying to the true God. That we're turning to the true God. That we're not pagans. Relating to a God that we made up in our head, and the only place he exists in our mind. It is possible to go to Mass for years and years, to pray for years and years, and not pray a Christian prayer with a Christian heart. In other words, to be a pagan in Christian clothes. And this is what we want to expose tonight. We want to expose the paganism that's in us. To be pagan is to pray to a God that exists only in my mind that I made up. Not the real one. And so tonight we want to get God right in order to grow in encounter. I have two parts to that. First, I want to try to articulate a simple philosophical perspective of the true God. And then a theological perspective of the true God. And in between there, I want to address Christian petition. Okay? It's going to be fun. So let us begin. The philosophical perspective. Follow me. This isn't that flashy, but it's going to get exciting, I trust. That from a philosophical perspective, this is what was most helpful for me in studying philosophy. The God of the philosophers, God is pure act. Those of you who are taking notes, write that down. Those of you who aren't, shame on you. God is pure act. What I mean by that, right, what they mean by that is as opposed to potential, potency. There's nothing unactualized in God. There's no unactualized potency in him. You and I have all kinds of unactualized potential, unactualized potency. You and I could be more courageous than we are right now. You and I have potential to be more forgiving than we are now. You and I have potential to be more generous than we are right now. You and I have potential to be more faithful than we are right now. You and I have potential to be more good than we are right now. Not God. God can't be more good. Gooder. That's how we talk in Dickinson. Than he is. In other words, dear students, there's no greater good God could be doing for you right now than he isn't already doing. There's nothing you and I do that makes God act. So if you pray novenas to get God to do something for you that he isn't doing, but he could be doing, but he's a slacker, and your novena actually actualizes something in him, you're a pagan. We have a couple little pagans in here, don't we? You thought I was being a little judgmental, and now all of a sudden, did you hear what I said? If you're wondering how is God relating to you right now? What is God doing right now in regards to you and me? You and I might not know with specificity, but we can be certain that right now, in this moment, he is using all of his power, and he can blow out the sun with one breath. He can suck up the oceans with one sip. He's using all his intelligence for your greatest good. And that's true every moment. Dear people, do you see how we have to get fascinated with the loving will of God? The Christian heart sees and is fascinated with, how do I let this loving will happen? And so, there is nothing, right? You and I aren't to pray to get God to act. And so once we see from this perspective, right? From this posture, one who sees God this way stands now in relationship to him in the posture of receptivity. What's our job? To receive from God who is giving, who is acting. That is our first act of loving God. It's our first duty. But as long as we're trying to actualize something in him, we can't encounter him because we're relating to a God we created in our mind. What's driving us is not faith, but a spirit of control. This posture of receptivity. Letting God do what God is doing. Letting God give me what God's giving me. So what I find helpful for images students is this, right? God is the sun. God is like the sun. You don't have to get him to shine. You don't have to get him to be warm. You don't have to get him to glow. You just have to open up the curtains. The Christian heart understands our relationship with God, and what we do is opening up the curtains to receive the sun who's already shining. Or he's Niagara Falls, pouring out, and we're standing under it. And if we're thirsty, it's because we haven't opened our mouths. And if we're praying, trying to get Niagara Falls to run, we're praying to some false god. Is this making sense? Now, just to show you that I didn't make this up or read this, you know, on the bulletin board of some spirituality center somewhere, I'm simply expressing the heart of Jesus. Jesus, teach us how to pray the way you pray. We love watching you pray. How do you pray? He said, well, let me tell you, this is how my heart prays. Daddy, your kingdom come, your will be done in me on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus went to receive all of this great, great loving will that was in his Father. This is also the heart of Mary. Right? I'm the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me as you wish. Good students, we got to stop pushing God around, trying to get him to act. We have to see God in faith that he is bursting forth with my greatest good every moment. And my deepest desire is to stand and let him do what he's doing. This is the Christian God, and we want to encounter him. In other words, our ego is what's driving our prayers, not faith or not grace, if we pray this other way. Let me give you an example of what this looks like in picture form. So as I said, I grew up 12 miles from here on a farm. And I think back when I was a kid, we got much more snow than we do these days. Anyway, I just remember a lot of winters with a lot of snow. And our cousins would come out on weekends, et cetera, and we'd have a wonderful time in the snow. We had snowmobiles, sleds, inner tubes, all this stuff. So we played King on the Hill, we played Cream the Carrier, we played Fox and Goose, all these things. And remember when you were a kid, having so much fun outside in the snow that you didn't realize half of your body was frostbitten? Because of all the snow in your boots and your snow pants and your gloves and your coat, etc. So we had finally stopped playing, all soaking wet, all cold, and we'd go into our shop. And in the middle of our shop was a big stove that just put out tons of heat. And we'd go in there, we'd take off our wet hat and our wet gloves and our wet scarves and our wet coats and our wet boots. And we would just hold them before the stove. And we would let the stove warm them and dry them. We didn't have to get the stove to be hot. We didn't have to get the stove to emit this warmth. We just had to hold them up before him This is Christian prayer. If you're wondering, Monsignor, if what you're saying is true, why do we offer petition to God? Why do we pray for the sick? Why do we pray for peace? Why do we pray for the end of a virus? Why do we pray for all these things? We're praying in petition, not that God does our will, but to hold it up so that all that he wants for us through it will be done. The most irrational thought that can enter into your mind is wanting to change God's will. This is why we hold up petition. If we hold up petitions to God so that he does what we want, we're not praying from a Christian heart. We want him to do whatever he is wanting to do in all of these things. The other great thing, the other thing is when we come to real closeness with God and start to become more and more aware of what he does in us, this is what we discover, right? And this is what St. Augustine says. We come to discover that what we're wanting of God is really not about us getting God to give something. But what we come to discover is that he is getting us to want what he's giving. Did you hear that? When one comes to be aware more and more of how God works in the soul, in the heart, one comes to see all these good things I'm wanting. When I become aware of what's from him and not from my ego, what I realize is I'm not trying to get him to give. He's trying to get me to want what he's giving. That's when it gets really exciting. And the image that I have always found best to explain this, everyone, is the image of the mom feeding a baby. Right? The mom feeding a baby. You've all done that before, have seen someone do that, etc. Right? But the mom, the baby is sitting in the high chair, however old they are, 18 months, 2 years, whatever they are, in the high chair, and mom grabs the baby food. Mom grabs the baby food out of the fridge or wherever and opens up the baby food and wants to feed the baby, right? The blended peas or whatever they feed, right? And so she has her spoon full of food and wants little Johnny to eat, to receive this. But even though, right, his brain is really not developed much at all, even though he's only 18 months, he knows that something that looks that bad can't taste that good. So he says, no. No. I want a medium rare steak. So now, mom is standing in the shoes of God. And the baby is in the shoes of the Christian who is wanting to enter into the mystery of God. And so what does mom do? Right? She does the choo-choo train. She does the airplane trick. And if none of those work, right, the nuclear option is she tastes the baby food and says, mmm, and lies to her baby. and then wonders why the baby, you know, doesn't listen to her when she's a teenager. Because she's been lying to the little thing every day for years. So eventually, right, eventually she gets the little one to say, "Give me." But the little baby didn't get mom to give. Mom got the little baby to receive what she was already giving. This is your relationship with God. God is trying to get you to receive what he is giving. And it's time you and I stop trying to get him to give us. And to start entering into prayer, "Lord, everything you're wanting to give me today and do for me today, please let me stay out of the way. Because I don't want to be a pagan anymore." You all heard the story, right? When John Cardinal O'Connor became the Archbishop of New York City, went over to Rome to get the pallium at the consistory, and after receiving it on his way back, he saw this little sister standing by one of the big four pillars that hold up the baldacchino at St. Peter's, and there was little Mother Teresa. This is the 70s, but he knew who she was. He ran up to her and said, "Mother Teresa, do you have any advice for me as I take on this ridiculously huge responsibility of being the Archbishop of New York City?" And she said three words: "Give God permission." If you know the true God, we come to understand that our responsibility is to give him permission. Who is already trying to do your greatest good every moment. You see how freeing this is? How liberating this is? Don't you find it like a burden to try to get the God of the universe to act? That's kind of burdensome. Praying for rain growing up on the farm almost destroyed my spirituality, my life of faith. I saw it so dumb in my mind. My sweet holy parents didn't think of it this way, but my little mind did. My little mind did. We needed rain. God could be giving us rain. He's not giving us rain, even though it'd be a good thing for him to give us rain. And so we prayed. We prayed, and he responded to us by being gooder and giving us rain. So awful. What does the Christian heart see when a family is praying for rain? Farmers, they're holding their wet scarves up to a stove. Whatever you're wanting in this cross we call a drought, may it be done. We give you permission to do whatever you want at this cross. This is how the Christian heart prays. God is pure act. But we also come to know, right? We also come to know from Christian revelation, especially, right, in the Johannine articulation of God, that God is love. He's not just pure act. God is love. Now understand the profundity of what John is saying in those three words. Students, John isn't saying God loves a lot, or God is loving, or God does loving acts. No, love isn't something God does. He is love. You and I sometimes love. but we're not love. Right? It's like similar to a squirrel, right? We can do some things squirrels do, I suppose, hide nuts in the backyard or whatever. But we can't become a squirrel. God cannot become something other than love. And what does love do? Love gives itself for the good of the other. So now, right, we see where this is going. God is laboring for your greatest good, giving you the greatest good every moment. What is that greatest good? Himself. Every moment, God, who is love, which is self-giving for the good of the other, is giving himself to you for your greatest good. Which now? This is so beautiful. Which means, every moment he's doing the airplane trick. The choo-choo train. He won't lie to you the way your mom did. Trying to get your heart to want him. Not as a means to an end, as the end. What did God want to give the Richter family in the midst of a drought? Himself. What did he want us to want in this drought? Lord, we want you. We would like rain for sure, but we want you most of all. Everyone, stop spinning your wheels in desiring God to give you things less than him. This is what the Lord said. This is what the incarnation is all about. This is what the Eucharist is all about. This unimaginable, incomprehensible, insatiable desire in God to give himself to me. His body. That he is willing to leap down from heaven, be slaughtered so that he can give his body to me. And we want rain. We're standing on Fort Knox begging for a penny. Why? Because we don't know the true God. God has made it crystal clear what he wants us to want. It was about, 15 years ago. So I was vocation director for the Diocese of Bismarck, working with great men like Father Bauck and Father Dosh. And for eight years, I got to live at the great parish of St. Anne's in Bismarck. Fabulous parish, fabulous people. It was one of my most precious years of my priesthood. So I lived downstairs. I called it the subterranean bunker. The pastor didn't like when I said that publicly. But so I lived there. 8 years at St. Anne's, and got to know a lot of wonderful people there. And family had me over for dinner with a couple of wonderful kids they had. And when I arrived for dinner, the junior high girl, I think she was like sixth grade at the time, I think she went through this wonderful institution, is often graduated. But she opened the door and said, "Hi, Father." She said, guess what I did today? I said, "What, Rachel?" She said, "I made my first pie for you." I'm sitting there. I think I'm glad. Okay. So she was so happy and so full of love. She was such a loving girl. And so I sit down, we eat, and after the entree is done, Rachel, from the other side of the table, she's sitting across from me, from the other side of the table, she takes her pie and pushes it right over to my plate, to where it then started pushing my plate into my fat belly. Yeah. And once she got it over right in front of me, she then looked up innocently and said, "Father, what would you like for dessert?" vanilla ice cream. Okay. The little girl was letting me know very clearly what she wanted me to want from her, what she wanted to give me, and what she wanted me to receive. Dear people, God has emptied himself because he wants to give you himself. Think about our prayers. How many of our prayers, how many of our desires, how many of our longings are wanting God to give us God? Right? This is what the saints figure out. This is not about rejecting anything less than God, that's for sure. This is wanting God in all things and wanting to love all things in God. But the person who gets God right and wants to encounter the true God understands that it's through the establishment of the desire in my heart that I want most of all, Lord, that you give me yourself. The establishment of that desire in the heart, which orders all others. It's the secret. So, good people, let us do that this weekend. As we live out these 40 hours, let us, in very simple ways, Jesus, I want you more. Jesus, I want more. God, I want more. Holy Spirit, I desire more of you. Just simple, simple ways.